thank you for your goodness, Jesus. We are so blessed today to have a very special speaker for our mission service. Brother Randy Adams serves the great missionaries of the continent of Africa as their regional director. It's been my privilege to see Africa grow, become more rooted in this truth, more equipped to reach their nations under his and his wife's able leadership. Every time I have been in a conference or meeting with him and he has spoken, I have been blessed, and I know that that will not be different here on the Illinois District Campground. I ask you to give a Illinois District warm welcome to Brother Adams as he comes here this morning to preach the word. Thank you so much, Brother Abernathy. God bless you. You may be seated. It's a privilege and honor to be with you today. I've enjoyed so much being in Illinois camp this week. I've been so blessed and challenged by the Word of God. I want to give honor today to our district superintendent, Brother Coltharp, and his team, Brother Nave, and the district board. Thank you so much for your leadership. I woke up again this morning, Brother Coltharp, just thanking God for your message on Wednesday night. Thank you so much for your leadership, for your clear vision. Amen. Amen. I thank God today for the privilege and honor of serving in his kingdom. And thank you for your kindness, for your receptivity to not just to the Word of God this week, but to the moving of the Spirit of God in every service, in every session. I want to give honor today to Brother Brandon Abernathy, our District Global Mission Director, doing a tremendous job, as well as Brother Tucker, our North American Missions District Director also. I appreciate these men so much, and thank you for your confidence to allow me to share in this service today, this missions service today. Yesterday, the Bible says that confession is good for the soul. Yesterday morning I came to the service and I had my notes fairly well prepared, and God is my witness, my notes completely centered around Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, and 13. And Brother Raymond Woodward so aptly and so well covered those chapters from beginning to end. He crossed every T and dotted every I, and he didn't leave out one jot or tittle. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord, for that. So, and when, pardon me for first name basis, but when Raymond Woodward covers a subject, how many of you know he covers it thoroughly? So I went back to the hotel room yesterday afternoon, and as soon as I got back to the room, I rewrote my notes, and I thought, well, you know, I did find a little scrap here or there, and I felt pretty good about that. And then last night, Brother Jerry Jones, God is my witness, what I had written down yesterday afternoon, I thought, dear Lord. And when Jerry Jones covers a subject, how many of you know he does not leave much on the table there? But I thank the Lord. I woke up this morning, and I do believe God has given clear direction. And I want to go to the word of the Lord this morning, and I will be very respectful and mindful of the time. And would you say yes? Yes? Now, I know Brother Woodward taught us the importance of saying yes to the right person, to the right situations and circumstances. But the theme of this mission service today, and I want to be clear, this is not just a global mission service. This is not just a North American mission service. This is a mission service. Because the Bible clearly tells us the field is the world. Amen? And obviously, I represent Africa, and I can talk to you a long time about Africa. I do want to give you just a quick revival report from Africa. Last year in 2022, by the grace of God and the help of God, 39,239 people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. 38,583 received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. As the Spirit of God gives the utterance, we give God all praise and glory and honor for that. That's an average of 107 people baptized every day, 365 days a year. 105 people filled with the Holy Ghost every 24 hours. We thank God and we give God all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Some new works as well have been opened up in the last 6 to 8 months in Africa, actually the last 12 months in Africa. These places, these countries have been on our radar for many years and they've been a subject of our prayers for many years. Places like Mayotte, I know that may be not be a familiar place to you, but Mayotte is an island nation in the Indian Ocean on the eastern side of the African continent. The gospel is being preached in Mayotte. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I were there with an AYC group from North America. Do we have youth ministries represented in the building? Anyone today representing youth ministries? Thank God for Move the Mission. Move the Mission helped us to open the work in Mayotte. And just a few weeks ago, while we were there, three people were baptized in Jesus' name. Five people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just in the last 5 weeks, I'm sorry, the last 5 months in the Gambia. The Gambia is a small country on the west coast of Africa. The Gambia is a predominantly Muslim country. And in the last 5 months, we've had an AIM couple in the Gambia, kind of working under the radar in the Gambia. And in the last 5 months, in fact, on Pentecost Sunday, we're not legally registered in the country yet, but God is doing an amazing work there. On Pentecost Sunday, they had 79 in attendance, 53 first-time visitors in attendance. Five people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To God be the glory. In the last 5 months, they have baptized. I'm talking about an AIM couple. Don't minimize our AIMers or our associate missionaries, our short-term missionaries. In the last 5 months, Jeff and Heidi Cecil have baptized 44 people in Jesus' name in the Gambia. We now have one preaching point and three home cell groups in that nation. We give God all praise and all glory and all honor for the wonderful things that He is doing. We are living in the last days. Do you believe that? I certainly believe that. We've heard that in this camp several times, the speakers and preachers. We're living in the last days. And because we are living in the last days, urgency is upon us. Urgency is upon us if we really believe that we're living in the last days. The Bible says that the devil in the last days, that he would be furious and he would work furiously because he knows his time is short. Should we be so surprised that in this day and hour that we're living in, that we need to hear messages like our superintendent's message on Wednesday night? Because the devil knows also that we're living in the last days. Because we are living in the last days and we are convinced of that and we have that conviction, we must understand we have no time to waste. We don't have any time to waste, brothers and sisters. We do not have enough laborers in the field, and that's why Jesus said we should pray the Lord of the harvest that He would call and send laborers into His harvest, because we're living in the last days. We must be good stewards of every opportunity and of every responsibility that God places in our hands, because urgency is upon us. We are living in the last days. Amen. We don't have enough money, and we don't have, and I know that it's not for a lack of money in the world. I'm saying in the church sometimes we feel like we do not have enough money. We don't have enough resources to do what God has called us to do. I don't believe that. The money was never an issue in the early church except when people got their eyes on money instead of the will of God and this thing we call the mission of the church. But we may have a shortage of money, but we must use what God gives us. We must be good stewards of everything God places in our hands, which includes the laborers, the members in our local churches, and the youth and the young people and the children that are in our children's service this morning. We have nothing to waste in this last day. There is a harvest in the field, and the harvest is white. It's already to harvest, and we must be about our Father's business. We are living in the last days, and urgency is upon us. Urgency is upon us. Everything we do in our services, everything we do in our board meetings, everything we do in our planning sessions, everything that we do in planning our calendar for the next year or whatever that may look like, every decision we make must be for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything we do, every dollar we spend, every song we sing, and what a wonderful, wonderful job you people have done this week in camp meeting. Everything we do has for one purpose, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost. That's our mission. That was the mission of Jesus. Luke summed it up in Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to walk on the water. He did that, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to open blind eyes and to cause the lame. He did those things, and he will continue to do those things in this last day that we're living in. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he sends us forth to do the same. Our mission is not different. Our mission is an extension of his mission. We're living in the last days. Urgency is upon us. We must say yes. Give a hand clap of praise unto the Lord today. He's great, and he is greatly to be praised. He's worthy of our highest praise. He's worthy, whether we feel like it or whether we don't feel like it. He is worthy to be praised. I woke up early this morning, and honestly, I thought about Brother Colthorpe. I thought about, you know, because Brother Jones preached so well last night, and I thought about getting up this morning real early and in my hotel room. I thought about just getting up and opening up my iPad to my notes and just giving a good hearty shout like Brother Jones did last night. Dry bones live! Because that's about all that was left of my notes was dry bones. I thought about just, you know, but my wife was asleep and I knew she wouldn't appreciate that very much. But I did wake up this morning with Hebrews chapter 12. This is not my text, but Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. The writer of Hebrews said, because we see these things, because we know these things, because we have so many witnesses among us that are speaking to us and telling us we're living in the last days, we must be about our Father's business. Because of this, he mentioned two things. We should lay aside every weight. And a weight can be a burden. A weight could be a distraction. A weight could be anything that might draw our attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the mission and the purpose that he's called us to. And then he said, lay aside every sin. I don't want to comment on that. I think we understand that. Sin is sin. There's only one way to deal with sin. You don't deal with sin with positive thinking. You don't deal with sin with higher education. You deal with sin with true repentance at an altar of repentance at the foot of a cross on Calvary. That's how we deal with. But he said, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. What that means is, that means with persevering endurance, the persevering obedience of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the race for the Hebrew, the original audience of this letter in the book of Hebrews was written to. That's what he was talking about. The persevering obedience of faith. Amen. Amen. So let us lay aside, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I don't have time to comment on that today, but some people get a little bit confused when they read that last part of verse number 2. It's forever set down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. Just always keep in mind when you're reading the book of Hebrews and studying the book of Hebrews and teaching the book of Hebrews, the subject of Hebrews is not the number of people in the Godhead. The subject of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of Jesus Christ. He is better. He's better than anything. He's better than anyone. That's the real subject. Keep it in its context, and we don't have a problem with verses like that. Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, my text for this morning, and I will be very brief watching the time because we have an offering to take up. Actually, there's two offerings that need to be received today. One will be the monetary offering that Brother Abernathy will deal with. But I believe there's another offering also that God is waiting for from us today. And I hope I don't make anyone feel too uncomfortable. But the other offering that I'm talking about is the offering of ourselves. Just saying, yes, Lord, I will do. I will go. I will be. I will give. I will participate. Acts chapter 10 and verse 24. And the morrow, or the next day, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. I'm not going to comment on the context there of Acts chapter 10. Brother Woodward covered that very well yesterday. But this is the part of this verse that I want to talk to us about for the next few minutes. And Cornelius waited for them. Cornelius waited for them. My subject to you this morning is this: someone is waiting on you. Someone is waiting on me. When you read those chapters in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, and Acts chapter 13, really what I see, and I've been preaching and teaching to our leadership all across the Africa continent for the last 6 months, I've been teaching and preaching to them the importance in these last days of strategic evangelism. We must become strategic in our evangelism in these last days that we're living in, because, again, we don't have time to waste. We don't have enough laborers. We don't have money to waste. But the idea that you see, and it's stated very clearly here in Acts 10 and 24, Simon Peter, the angel of the Lord, speaking to Cornelius, and God speaking to Simon Peter also. And when Simon Peter arrived at this house, he was guided by the Spirit of the Lord. This was all orchestrated by God. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, in these last days that we're living in, God is going to orchestrate some amazing opportunities for this church, for this apostolic church, to reach the harvest. He's going to orchestrate some opportunities. He's going to place some opportunities in your hands and in my hands, and it's going to blow our mind what God will do if we will just say yes. Cornelius was waiting on them, and someone is waiting on you. I want to share something that this is just a very brief portion of a letter that I received a couple of years ago from one of our aimers in Africa, Brother Don Eastham. He and his wife retired. They retired from careers in the Northwest, in the state of Oregon, and after they retired, they went to the mission field, and they've been there ever since as aimers. So you see, sometimes we get this, get the idea that aimers, that's all the young people. No. It's an opportunity to go and get involved in the harvest. And Brother Easton wrote this to me just a month of report. I'm going to skip way down because of time. He said, we conducted a seminar in western Uganda and we're teaching in a church with dirt floors and mud walls, thatched roof, and no electricity. An elderly man caught my attention as he seemed so eager to be involved with what was going on. When it was time to read the scriptures in the local language, he was the first to volunteer. And at the end of the teaching, we opened it up for Q&A, for questions and answers. His hand immediately went up and he stated, this old African man said that he had been converted in 1950. But then he said, now I realize that all these years I have not been baptized the Bible way. Obviously, he received the revelation of baptism in Jesus' name. He explained that he had never heard this message, but could now see it to be the truth of the Word of God. Then he asked this question, and the Amer wrote, that still haunts my mind and my spirit today. And the old African man's question in a bush village on dirt floors in a mud hut, I'm just telling you folks, it doesn't take a fine building. We thank God for our comfortable sanctuaries in North America, but I promise you, he's not only the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's the same here and there and anywhere. We don't limit him to a particular type facility. He's great and greatly to be praised. And the old man asked this question, where have you been? Where have you been? And I've come to tell you today, someone is waiting on you. I think Brother Woodward said it this way yesterday morning, nothing happens until something moves. Where have you been? Someone is waiting on you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we're familiar with that verse of scripture. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I just noticed yesterday, last night, and this morning, I reread, in fact, before I turned my light out last night, I reread Acts chapter 1 all the way through Acts chapter 13 because I wanted to be sure that what I'm about to say is true. After Acts chapter 8, you do not see, in the book of Acts, you do not see the Lord doing a lot of speaking. After Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, in fact, the next time that you see the Lord speaking in the book of Acts. And why do I say in the book of Acts? Because the book of Acts, some people, some denominations, some religions only consider the book of Acts for its historic content. They say it's simply a book of the history of the church. I agree that it is a historical book of the birth and the operation. It is our guidebook on how the church was born and what they preached and what they taught. But it's much more than that. Some denominations do not consider the doctrinal value and the doctrinal content of the book of Acts. But we see it differently. We accept the historical facts, but we also believe that it is, in fact, the doctrinal thesis of this early apostolic church. Amen. And it's not until Acts chapter 5 that the Lord speaks again in the book of Acts. But the angel of the Lord, I'm in Acts chapter 5, verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. God speaks again in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. God speaks again in Acts chapter 9. The next time he speaks, it's to a young man named Saul of Tarsus, and the Lord calls his name two times, which is emphasizing it's apparent that God was trying to get Saul's attention. Saul, Saul, Why are you persecuting me? But the Lord spoke again in Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, and this being Ananias, a disciple in Damascus, not a prophet, not an apostle, not a bishop, not a pastor, not a missionary, not a national board member, but God speaks to a disciple and he says, arise and go into the street that's called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying and he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. What is the Lord saying to this disciple named Ananias? Let me sum it up. He is saying, Ananias, someone is waiting on you. And perhaps it would be more appropriate to say in this meeting today, perhaps I should make it plural, some ones are waiting on us. It's not just the people. It's not just someone in a community. But the Lord is also waiting on us. Because as the preacher said yesterday, nothing happens until someone moves. And the Lord spoke again in Acts chapter 10. I'm not going to go through all of the verses. He spoke to Cornelius. He spoke again. He spoke to Simon Peter. And then the Lord spoke again in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, in the book of Acts, when the Lord spoke, it's connected with and associated with going to preach the gospel to someone. What are you saying, Brother Adams? I'm just saying, I know the Lord. I've had the Lord speak to me multiple occasions. I could go back and take you to the place. I could tell you the time when the Lord has spoken to me. But in this early church, in this New Testament church, in this apostolic church today, we say we believe the book of Acts, and I know that we do. We preach the book of Acts, I know that we do. We practice what we see and what the Lord, in fact, I believe firmly and completely that anything we see the Lord doing in the book of Acts, we can claim it and expect it to happen today. That's why I believe in miracles. That's why I believe in signs and wonders. That's why I believe nothing is impossible to God, because he did it in the book of Acts, and we're in the same church, and we're preaching the same message, and we're believing the same in the same God. And I believe in these last days that we're living in, we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders just like they saw in the book of Acts. But I want us to understand that when the Lord spoke in the book of Acts, it was associated with going and witnessing to someone. It was associated with going to a city, with going to a nation, with going to a people. It was associated with preaching the gospel or being a witness. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. God hasn't called me. No, God doesn't call everyone to a pastoral ministry. He doesn't call everyone to what we call today an evangelistic ministry. I do believe that every born-again child of God has a responsibility to get involved in evangelism. We have a responsibility to get involved in soul winning. We have a responsibility to get involved in discipleship. Why? Because someone is waiting on me. I wrote this down yesterday afternoon before Brother Jones preached last night. How many times does God need to speak to us before we will obey his voice and take the step of faith? Let's be honest today. Let's be transparent today. I'll be transparent. How many times I pray so often, God speak to me. But you know what I'm really praying? God speak to me and encourage me. God, speak to me and just give me a word of confirmation that I'm okay. I'm not getting cold or lukewarm spiritually. God, speak to me and just let me know. God, speak to me about this financial decision. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, by the way. I'm confessing to you. God, speak to me. God, bless me. Speak to me. Just let me hear your voice so that I will be blessed. But when we look at the pattern of this apostolic church in the book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, when God speaks in the book of Acts, most often when he speaks into the early church, it's not about blessing us individually. It's not about comforting and consoling us individually. I believe that's why the Apostle Paul wrote so much about the encouraging one another and submitting one to another. He taught and he wrote to us and gives us instructions of how we should treat one another and how we should conduct ourselves among ourselves. But I believe the Lord said it all, and I believe he was very serious when he said it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many times does he need to tell us? How many times does he need to speak to us? So if we could do the PowerPoint real quick, and I'm almost finished, and Brother Abernathy is going to come. But I want to say this before, just four quick points on the screen. I want to say this: God is going to speak to us. I know he's already spoken to us. He's going to speak to us again. I definitely through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God today, this day, this last day of camp meeting. But I believe, I firmly believe, and I believe the Lord dropped this in my spirit in the last couple of days. When we go home from this camp meeting, God is going to speak to his people. God's going to speak to you individually. God's going to give you an opportunity to get involved in the work of the kingdom. It's not just about Africa, folks. Let me talk to you just briefly about Illinois. Nashville, Illinois needs a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nashville, Illinois needs an apostolic church. Muskoka, Illinois needs an apostolic witness. Arlington Heights, Western Springs, Eastern St. Louis, Cahokia, Illinois needs a witness of this gospel. They deserve to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Maryville, Illinois, in Washington Park, Illinois. Who will say yes? Who will say yes? God is going to speak to you in the days to come. I'm not a prophet. I'm not son of a prophet. But I know what I feel in my spirit, and I know what the Lord spoke to me this week already during this camp meeting. There are church planters sitting under the sound of my voice. There are missionaries sitting under the sound of my voice. I need to say this in this service today. I'm so blessed and so privileged to serve in this great Africa region. There are families in this service that represent decades of pioneer missionary service in the continent of Africa. The Abernathys. The Blakes, the Carpenters, the Russells. So there are four Beatitudes of getting on location that I want to share with you quickly, and I'll not take the time. The first one is be prepared. Be prepared for God to speak to you. If you'll just be prepared for God to speak to you and understand that it may be different than you imagine, different than you think, but be prepared. Number two, be flexible. Be flexible. In 1786, a man by the name of Robert Burns, he wrote what he called the Poem to a Mouse. He said, the best laid schemes of mice and men go often awry. Be flexible. because God may lead you in a different direction than you always felt like you would go. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to God's voice. Some spiritual exercises, and we know these. Prayer and fasting, reading and meditating God's word, listening carefully for God to speak to us. Be sensitive. And number four, be obedient. Just be obedient. Just say yes. Would you stand with me? I want to end with this illustration. If we could bring that last slide up. I don't know. I hope that's good. I hope that's visible to you from out in the audience. That's an African impala. If you've ever had the opportunity to go to Africa and do a wild game safari, you have no doubt seen the African impala. They are just literally multitudes upon multitudes in the Serengeti and in the savanna grasslands of Africa. Some parts of Africa, they call that the gazelle. But the African impala is an amazing, amazing creature, known for its speed and known for its ability to leap great distances. In fact, statistics tell us that this African impala, when he really kicks in, you know, with the lion or the cheetah, when he really kicks in all of his energy, this animal can leap a height of a little over 3 yards. A height of about 9.5 feet. That's in height. But this animal also, amazingly, when this animal is really in full stride across those grasslands to escape the enemy, the lion or especially the cheetah, this animal can also leap a distance, listen to this, a distance, a height of about 9.5 feet, a distance of upwards to 10 yards. That's over 30 feet. He can leap a height of over 9 feet and a distance of over 30 feet in one bound. So you can easily see when this animal really gets stretched out across the grasslands or across the Serengeti, nothing's going to catch him. But here's the interesting thing about it. You can take that same animal and you can build a small enclosure and just build the height of the enclosure about a yard high. This animal's not real tall. Just build it. You don't have to build high, you don't have to build a 9-foot wall. Just a short wall, because as long as that animal cannot see where his feet will land, he will never leap. He will never jump. And this animal that has the capacity, that has the ability to leap a distance of 30 feet, a height of 10 feet, almost 10 feet, this animal will never move, never jump out of an enclosure only about 1 yard tall, because he cannot see where his feet will land. Can I remind you beautiful people today, you beautiful, beautiful apostolic people, we walk by faith and not by sight. To some of you under the sound of my voice, God has already spoken to you in this camp. God has spoken to you before you ever came to this camp. Some of you, God has been speaking to you for years. God's going to speak to you again. How many times does he need to speak to us before we will just simply say, "Yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, Lord, I will do. Yes, Lord, I will give of myself to the best of my ability." To the best of my ability. Would someone like to join us around the front this morning as Brother Abernathy comes? He's going to take up a monetary offering, but I want to invite us to give ourselves first unto the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I will go to that unchurched city. Yes, I will go to that unchurched community. Yes, I will go. I will teach that Bible study. I'll step across the street and I'll visit my neighbor. I'll knock on that door. I will witness to my co-worker or to the student that sits across in the next desk next to me in school or in the university. Yes, Lord, I will give myself to you and I will do to the best of my ability. Yes, Lord, I will go to that country. Yes, I'll fill out that application. Yes, I will go and I will be that witness unto you. Let's pray together in Jesus' name.
Anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. So take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart,
Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
I'm available to you.
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me.
Take my hands, Lord, take my hands.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me.
You can
all across this place. Could we make that our prayer right now? Lord, if you can use anything, Lord.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use
anything. Oh, I'll say yes, Jesus, to your will and to your way.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord praise right now. Come on. He's worthy. I believe that there's going to be some conversations with your pastors when you go home. You know where it all starts? At home. Serving your community, serving your pastor, serving your church family. And that shows God that you're willing and ready to do whatever He's called you to do. I believe there's going to be some yeses come out of this service this morning. Thank you, Brother Adams, for sharing the word. Thank you for responding to the word. We have a real quick 5-minute transition. We're just a few minutes behind schedule, but 5-minute transition between now and the next service with Brother Woodward. And I am asking everyone who's able to give, make a pledge toward giving toward those 37 churches that need to be rebuilt. I ask you to meet me right over there by the flags in that corner, and we'll get that done. Please hurry quickly to come get to me so we can celebrate together about what God is going to do through the Illinois District in giving to building those churches. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you.